You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com. It's 7:07 AM. Time for Minding Your Business, brought to you by 707 Embroidery Zone, your local embroidery, screen printing, and promotional product company.
Yeah, and our Minding Your Business show welcomes in Rob Ferguson. Rob, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Very good morning. How are things in Napa this morning?
Well, you know, it's beautiful out there, and life is good. Living in paradise, what can I say?
Well, I love it. You bet.
So today we've got another Ask the Boss type show where we have a couple of questions for you to address. These are coming from real world business situations because that's what this show is all about, right?
Exactly. I love it. This is where I have the most fun.
Okay. Let's get right into it. We'll test your abilities here to handle unexpected questions. Joe says, this question is from a friend working in the HVAC trade. He's good at what he does, and he's interested in starting his own business. What advice does Rob have for someone in this situation? What are the most important things he should focus on?
Well, that's a great question, and I appreciate Joe bringing it to our attention. Oddly enough, I've got a lot of experience in working with HVAC contractors right around 1998 to about 2005. I had several of them as a client. And in the HVAC, I think that this would be advice I would give anybody wanting to start anything out in business. But in the HVAC industry itself, I would say the first thing you need to do is to figure out what segment of the market that you want to work in. Where do you see the open space? Is it the home replacement units that you want to get into? Is it commercial? Is it light commercial? Is it heavy commercial? Who's your competition going to be? How are you going to let them know, your customers know, that you're in business? So designing your business model is really critical. There are some exceptionally good, rapid-growing companies in Northern California that I know that I helped develop and work with in the first part of the 21st century here. And the key is, what is your message going to be to your market? Who are you trying to attract? I know one company that really features themselves as being the on-time company. If you set up a time to have them come out to your place within 2 hours, they guarantee that you'll be there on time or you won't be charged for your visit. Others make a big deal about the fact that you have screened employees that go into your home. They always wear booties on their feet. They get drug tested regularly. They have no prison record and so forth and so on. So really it all depends on who you're trying to attract and what is most important to them in that industry. So the first thing you have to figure out is where are you pointing your service gun, if you will? Who light industrial? Are you going to do a lot of rooftop units? Are you going to do entire system replacements? Are you going to install what they call a cut-in to that home that that maybe it has never had central heat and air and they want it for the first time? So there's a lot of variances in that industry in particular. And then you have to decide, well, how am I going to communicate with them? How will I separate my service offering from everybody else in the marketplace? Or will I simply say, you know what, I'm going to copy this company's approach to the market, but I'm going to try and do it better, and I'm going to have a more effective way of communicating. So the key in the heating and air conditioning business in particular is, how are you going to approach the market? What market space are you going to execute? Are you going to occupy, rather? And then how are you going to execute your particular service that you're hanging your hat on so that your reputation grows in that way? Let's assume that people can all go to school and get all the technical knowledge that they need in the HVAC business, or they can go to plumber school, or they can go to any of the trade schools and really learn how to do that aspect of it. That's a small part of it. As we've said in the past with Peter Drucker, who says that business has two components and only two components, marketing and everything else. Well, that statement is really the case of the situation in the HVAC business. Marketing, what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, what you're going to look like, How are you going to approach the market? All those things are extraordinarily important if you're going to succeed.
Hmm. Different world, you know, back in an earlier time, it was all about just doing good work and your reputation would be known and that was all it would take in something like HVAC yep. particularly.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, you had a regional provider of service, and that I'm sure has several old established companies that do this for a living. Mm-hmm. Great. But there has been some amazing success stories of rapid growth businesses in the HVAC industry in particular over the last 20 years that would say it's really all about messaging, marketing, and how you execute on your market position, and then finding out what is it that people really want the most of. Do they want you to be on time? Do they want you to be, you know, COVID-19 compliant? Do they want you to be drug tested? I mean, maybe all those things, okay? But at the end of the day, what you really want is a serviceable unit that was fairly priced, that works well, and you have a good experience. Well, that's just not good enough these days. Yeah. You've got to do something that's going to distinguish you and separate you from the competition in your market.
All right. Question number two, during the Ask the Boss Stump the Band version of the Minding Your Business show, question submitted by Windown Media's own Will Marcencia, but it's on behalf of business owner Garrett Murphy, co-founder of Vintners Collective Napa Valley. And here's Garrett's question.
Wow.
With the business landscape changing quickly and accelerating even more so since the pandemic, what is your recommendation for brick and mortar retailers in regard to increasing online sales as well as their presence on social media beyond having a professional and mobile-friendly website and an Instagram page?
Wow. Garrett, thank you so much. That's a great question, and it's ever evolving. There's certainly not one, you know, page you could take out of anybody's playbook right now and say this is going to apply to everybody. But generally speaking, I'll go back to Peter Drucker and the role that marketing plays in any organization. And in particular, if you are a brick and mortar retailer, let's say that you're a bike shop, just to pick a segment of the market, and you're accustomed to having people come in there. Well, what can you do to reconfigure or remodel your brick and mortar bike shop to accommodate people? So in a bike shop, maybe what you'll do is you'll understand what segment of the market you want to be involved in. Maybe it's people that, you know, get dressed up in their road gear and they have nice 10-speed bikes and they go on long bike rides and so forth. Maybe it's a bike club. So how can you align yourself very closely with that segment of the market and feature what you do? And how can you segue between being a brick and mortar where people come in and they aggregate in your store and they talk about the exciting trips they're going to have, they look at all the new material. How can you replicate that experience in either an online model or even in a more remote model where people might feel more comfortable? For example, aggregating outside in your parking lot or sponsoring a road race, something like that. So I would say that whether you're virtually any retailer needs to figure out how they can transform what they normally would do and find a way to replicate that experience in a virtual setting. So let's say a virtual setting means that you can go online and you can maybe look live at what's happening in that retail store. Maybe you can give products and services demonstrations online that people can go to anywhere. Maybe you can find a way to deliver your goods and services virtually to the market. Like, again, let's say that you're in the ski business. Maybe you have skis and boots and poles and all those things that you sell. So you can have a virtual fitting online. You can have a virtual advice online, and then you can deliver the skis, boots, and poles and so forth to your customer, or you can make them available for pickup. So I guess my main response would be any brick and mortar that is accustomed to only having people come into their store, clothing, sporting goods, home appliances, whatever it might be. What is the best way that you can come up with to give that same exact experience in a virtual setting? as opposed to a physical setting, and then find a way to complete the sale in a virtual way. I think that's really what's happening in the marketplace today on so many different levels. Food delivery, DoorDash, and all the things that are happening in the restaurant and hospitality world, that you're trying to connect to people and deliver what you're accustomed to doing with people coming into your business. Now you're in a position where you've got to duplicate or replicate that experience as best you can in a virtual setting so that people can feel comfortable to do business with you, whether it's online or whether it's walking into your store. So in every case, it's a matter of understanding what place in the market you serve. Is it price? Is it quality? Is it service? Pick two of those three. Maybe it's quality and service is going to be where your company hangs its hat with whatever it is you do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how can I take my quality and service market space, that's the position that I'm going to be doing business in, and how can I replicate as best as possible the experience that people used to get from me and now make it available online and take the entire sales cycle? Somebody knocks on your door, that means they're knocking on your website or they're coming into your store virtually. What kind of experience do they have? How are you going to convey to them what you can do for them that's different or exclusive to your competition? And then how can you continue that experience throughout the buying process, throughout the sales cycle, until finally they make a decision and then you complete the sale? So I think it's going to be an evolving market. I think it's here to stay. I think people are going to be doing more and more of their business this way. But I also think that people are very anxious to return to some semblance of the old days. How can I go in there and see the people face to face, you know, press the flesh, so to speak, shake their hands and see what's going on with them? Well, I think you've got to be prepared for the full cycle of either having a completely online experience to a blended experience of online and walking in the store to a complete in-store service, depending upon where we are in this thing or when the next one might come.
Mm-hmm. I've got a question of my own for you in terms of where we are in this current moment in time. I was just relating a bit earlier that Napa County is on a path toward moving up another tier in the color coding system. We could be moving to the orange tier maybe 2 weeks from now, if all goes as planned, knock on wood. This status, you know, we've been in this before where things were getting better and then they changed and they got worse again. For business owners, it's more than just an inconvenience. You're trying to plan to ramp back up, and yet you have uncertainty around that. Are there any tips or advice that you would offer in that situation? And I'm thinking about, you know, it's a wide variety of businesses, and their concerns may be different. For some folks, it's staffing. For other people, it's inventory. For others, it's like when to reengage with your marketing efforts and spend money again. What are your thoughts about that? The ramping up and the, you know, the risk that can be involved if you have over expectation.
Well, you know, I'll go back to some of the very basics here. By that, I mean this. You take a hard look at your business right now and where it is in the pandemic. What did you suffer from? What experiences did you have? Where are you today? So if you do a good job of doing what's called a SWOTS analysis, SWOTS, you do the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities, and the threats for your business. So you take a look at the SWOT analysis for your business, number one. Number two, you express and you analyze each of those things. What are your strengths, and how can you make your strengths in business, how can you make that pivot from being 100% shut down to 100% open and everything in between? What is your method going to be for being able to accommodate your customers, regardless of where you are in that cycle? And the same thing would be true with your weaknesses. Let's look at the things that maybe you didn't do so well historically, or some things that you're worried about in your business. Maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your staffing, maybe it's your supply chain. You need to have good plans for how you're going to be doing that. The opportunities that are out there, what can you think of and imagine would be the new opportunities that you would have if you feature your strengths, if you bolster and try and correct your weaknesses? Now, what new opportunities are there? And then what threats are you facing with your business? So going back to the fundamentals of any business, whether it be brick and mortar retail, consulting, automobile, auto repair, whatever it might be. Take a hard look at what you're doing, what your plans are, being realistic about the assessment of where you think you are in your business, and designing an operating plan, a business plan, if you will, that says, here's what we're going to do under scenario A. Here's what we're going to do under scenario B. Here's what we're going to do under scenario C. And be prepared. You know, the old Boy Scout motto, be prepared. So I think that these days, there's nothing more important than really analyzing and doing the deep planning for your business so that you're prepared to go whichever way you've got to go, and find out what resources you've got, do your due diligence, get your analytics down, and really truly understand, you know, what your market is, what your customers want, and how you can deliver it to keep what you've got and capture those customers that your competition is not planning on and not doing a good job for.
There you have it. Ask the Boss with Rob Ferguson in our Minding Your Business program for this week, something we do periodically on the weekly show or a biweekly, semi-weekly show. And so if you have questions in your mind, you can find a way to get them to us. So you can email me, for example, barry@winddownmedia.com. And to get in touch with you, Rob Ferguson, what could folks do?
Well, the best thing that might be to text me at my text number, 925-998-1629, 925-998-1629. And I'm very happy to give anybody, you know, a generous portion of my time, hear what their situation is, and give them some advice as to the direction they might go, and maybe refer them to other resources that are available. So I do appreciate that. And I appreciate being able to serve the Napa community in this manner on a first and third Wednesday basis, Barry. Thank you so much for your time.
You bet. We like having you on. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay, Barry. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And that's going to do it for Minding Your Business.
That was this week's business segment, Minding Your Business.
Proudly brought to you by our friends, 707 Embroidery Zone, your local embroidery, screen printing, and promotional product company. You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.